You know, I do a lot of design work in my books, and I'm retired from this field, and that's why I put all that information in the book so people don't have to hire an architect to do this. They can just have a lot of do-it-yourself areas on safe rooms.
What's a safe room?
Well, a safe room is it's a tight, airtight, atmospheric controlled room which can have various levels of protection, usually concealed. I'm big on concealment because it doesn't do any good to have a safe room and people come through your house and, you know, knock down the wall and try to get to you. You want to be concealed, and you want to have real strong protection. You want to have, it has to be fireproof in case the house burns down around you. This is a place, it can be earthquake-proof. A lot of techniques do this. I've developed in two of my books what I call gravel wall construction. It's a way to use steel studs, plywood, and gravel packed in those walls. You've got, can have actually bulletproof, airtight walls for a fraction of the cost of concrete.
You know, when I was a kid, Joel, we had fallout shelters. We never used them, thank God. Never used them, but I always remembered an old Twilight Zone bit on TV. I don't know if you remember this, but the couple, they were the only ones on the block, and they built a fallout shelter. And all the neighbors wanted to break down the door and get into the fallout shelter. They were panicking. They were screaming. And he was screaming back at them. You know, he and his wife and the kids, they were in this fallout shelter, and people had broken into his house, and they were trying to get in. They couldn't get in. And the Twilight Zone show, of course, ended with a shot of the neighborhood screaming and yelling, and it was a false alarm. And I guess the moral was that the people can't get along with each other. And I'll always remember that episode. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I do. I saw that myself years ago. And but, you know, there is a silent movement, to build high-security rooms or safe rooms. There's even been a movie about it, although it's for the wealthy. You know, a lot of people think of the wealthy, and that's why my books concentrate on allowing the do-it-yourself and the person do-it-yourselfer and the person who doesn't have a lot of money to have the same kind of protection. But it's really important to do that. There are times, for example, when you have a home intrusion. I talk about this in my book on security, The Secure Home, that it's better to get into a safe room than it is to try to confront a burglar, especially if the man's gone and the woman and the children are there. And I have plans in my books on how to get people into that without going through the main hallway and the stairway of the house, so that you can have this. You can really sleep better if you have a safe room built into a house. It's a very, very good strategy.
Are we creating more panic, though, by doing things like that?
Well, you know, the government tends to take that point of view. You know, isn't it interesting? The government is building more and more high-security shelters all the time.
For themselves.
For themselves. But they won't breathe a word about it to the American people, and any time you bring it up, say, oh, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want people to panic. Well, I like to say this. You know, what's worse, a little bit of panic buying beforehand that calms down, as you always know, it calms down when things don't happen, or the huge amount of panic that happens in the Twilight Zone scenario when people realize, wow, our government really didn't prepare us at all, and FEMA has no protection against nuclear or biological chemical, and you can't go to the hospital because they have no protection, they have no filtration, the doctors and nurses are all sick. That's panic, George.
You know, there's also the attitude to take, let's say an asteroid hits the planet, that we're all in this together, what the heck, you know?
Yeah, you know, I see that all the time when people talk about, you know, and I have made some very stern warnings about the fact that Russia and China are preparing to take on the West someday, and they're going to use a preemptive nuclear strike as their first strike. They really know about preemptivity, and even though they're blasting George Bush about it, they're doing it with tongue-in-cheek because they plan on using it themselves. But, you know, a lot of people's reaction is, oh, gee, if there's a nuclear weapon, we're all going to die anyway, so why even prepare? But, you know, it really isn't true. When you study this stuff, you realize that most people do survive. Even in Hiroshima, a lot of people survived.
Oh, sure.
A lot of people. But, you know, they just got terribly sick, and they wish they were dead. That's the problem. You know, it'd be nice if you'd all die and won't have to go through this, but you don't die. You just get terribly sick. And that's why a little bit of forethought and preparation against some of these things in a safe room, I call them multi-purpose high-security shelters because they...
Is it expensive?
No. I mean, you can put in out of gravel wall construction, make a high security room in a house for less than $3,000.
That's it?
That's it. And you can do one out of concrete the size of a garage for less than $10,000.
Hmm.
Now, you know, you can put a lot of money into equipment and things, but as I say, you know, I don't recommend, for example, that people put blast doors in these things. Those cost tens of thousands of dollars if you don't need them. If you're not in a blast zone, or if you can relocate, then why go to all that expense?
Right.
We have a lot of these engineers, nuclear engineers, who say, gee, if you're not going to build $100,000, don't even try because you're not going to survive. And it's just not true. You can survive in a great deal of rudimentary type shelters, but when you think about the fact of if there is, you know, dirty bomb, biological, chemical, or nuclear terrorism at some time, you've got to be prepared to be in a safe room for a couple of weeks. And so the sanitation, the cooking, the sleeping, you'd much rather do that in a prepared safe room than you would in a pit dug underneath an automobile out in your backyard in the wintertime when it's raining and filling up with water.
Are you convinced, Joel, that eventually this country is going to get hit by something?
I'm absolutely convinced that this country is going to suffer a huge backlash from its continued intervention in antagonizing the world. And I think what it's going to be, it's not so much the rogue nation. I think these rogue nations like North Korea, Iran, and Iraq, as we know, have always been controlled by the Russian-Chinese mm-hmm. axis. And eventually, they're going to put pressure on Russia and say, look, somebody's got to stop this United States from taking us down. And I think someday Russia's going to accommodate them. Because they never really have, and I'll go out on a limb here, I don't believe that the Soviet Union voluntarily collapsed. I think it was a carefully crafted deception. In other words, I think there is evidence, and I talk about this in my briefs.
An intentional downsizing, sort of?
An intentional downsizing in order to appear to feign weakness to get the West to take over the, keeping these countries alive. They were going down economically. Now the West is keeping them all afloat. NATO's taking them on. All the while, Russia is still secretly continuing to build huge bunker systems, huge underground nuclear weapons factories. They're planning on striking.
Interesting theory.
Yeah, all of their military...
Now, you do know a first strike will have a devastating retaliation.
Well, not really. If you understand, and this is the first time I went on coast to coast with this Art Bell in 1998,
right.
And I talked about PDD-60. We're still operating under this terrible executive order signed by President Clinton...
First strike.
...telling
right.
our nuclear forces to absorb a nuclear first strike.
Yeah.
And then retaliate afterwards. But as General Butch Neal of the Marine Corps said, how do you retaliate afterwards when you've told the Russians, we're going to let you have a freebie?
I don't think George Bush, for example, or someone like him in office is going to take a first hit.